Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yeah, you know, I got a couple of comments about your daughter's performance. And people calling for my replacement. It's like she's got a smooth delivery. One of you should be out.
Well, okay. Hey, it could be me. I don't care. She could do the show for me, right? It's okay. I'll take days off. I'll do it. It's okay. She could take them.
No days off. No days off.
I was unhappy to have to take yesterday off, but there was some time where I really thought, oh my God, I have COVID. I really did. And I didn't realize until midday yesterday when I started feeling absolutely awful that I had a reaction to my shingles vaccine that I had the day before. So, you know, don't turn 50, by the way, Harvey. I know you're coming up on it. Don't turn 50.
I'm staving off elimination as best I can.
You're going to have to get a shingle shot when you get to 50.
Well, I got a hell of a run before then. Maybe I'll take my chances. Given the way you described it. It's a joke, people. It's a joke. You were in misery.
Oh, it was terrible. And it's the second shot I had, right? Like, you have to get two shots for shingles, right? You do one, then you get one like a month and a half later. And all the shots I've gotten now in the last few months, you know, the COVID shots, the boosters, the flu shot, the two shingle shots. I'm like Captain Freaking America, man. I got so much stuff in me. I feel like I could just grab the shield and just start throwing it like John Walker. I got all the super serum in me now, man. I could be the U.S. agent too if I wanted to. And, so I get this shot on Wednesday, and I'm not really thinking about it because I was fine Wednesday and fine when I got up yesterday. And then all of a sudden, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I was like, oh, wow, I feel awful, achy, fever, chills. I'm like, this is terrible. This is awful. And I'm like, I can't work. I let you guys know, and I let our boss, Scott Shapiro, know. And I'm like, oh, my God. I took COVID test, and knock wood, I was negative. I was like, okay, what is it? And then my doctor told me, oh, yeah, you're having a reaction to the to your shingle shot. It's going to be like this. And it was kind of felt like after I got my second COVID shot, where I was like, you know, laid low for a while, but then I took a 4-hour nap. Like I slept from like 4 o'clock yesterday until like 8 o'clock. I woke up. I'm like, oh my God, I'm glad I told him I was sick. The show's been on the air an hour.
I'd already screamed at Arnie some 7.2 times.
I'd already missed it. But then waking up felt a little bit better. And then like probably by a little bit before dinner tonight, I was back at 100%. I felt like 100%. I'm like, okay, this feels good. But man, that is no fun. So try if you can skip over 50 and not get that, try to skip over it, man. That was no fun.
Well, you know, they said hold on to 15 as long as you can. Well, I tried.
Yes. Yeah.
even though Mellencamp evidently hated that song, but that's a whole other story for another time. It's a little scary, right? Reactions and thinking your body's going to be fine. And then the overarching thing is this is going to help. But in the moment, yeah, the temporary pain, long-term relief, I guess, would be the way it goes. And for those unaware, if you want to do the PSA about shingles, have at it.
Mm. Hey, I'm Jason Smith. Do you know what shingles are? Yeah, you might think those are those things on the roof that you wind up putting on to keep your roof either heated during the winter or cool during the summer. But no, it's really, really painful. So get your shots and don't overreact if you overreact to it. And that's one to grow on. There you go. I just freestyled it right there.
There you go. The reactivation of the chickenpox virus in the body that causes a painful rash for those unawares.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was no fun. But very happy to be back here doing the show tonight with you. Happy to be having fun. And, you know, I thought we'd come back. I didn't know what Frank Vogel watch was going to be like tonight.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. Wow. Well, it had its moments as we were doing show prep. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, the Lakers win tonight over Orlando, 116-105. Tonight was the night that Carmelo Anthony saved Frank Vogel's job with a huge night off the bench. He goes for 23. He hits four threes. The Lakers were losing big time in this game. They were down big at halftime, and maybe Frank Vogel had 24 minutes left as Lakers head coach. But they beat the 8-win Magic and staved things off for at least a couple of days, at least Frank Vogel-wise. But in this drama comes this story that it just takes the Lakers in a whole new direction. Mark Stein of New York Times, other outlets reporting tonight that the Rockets would take back Russell Westbrook in a trade for John Wall. Remember, they traded Russell Westbrook for John Wall before. Russell Westbrook, John Wall again. The Houston Rockets would do this. The only caveat is they want a first-round pick in return. Now, why would the Rockets do this? John Wall is not playing for them this year. They wanted to get younger and figure out how to go forward with the young players they have. And John Wall, so far, to all reports, has been a pretty good teammate and understands the situation. But, look, the guy's 31. He still wants to play. If the Rockets got Westbrook back, they would likely just waive him. They have no plans to have him play for them, and then Westbrook would wind up with yet another team. This trade can happen because the two are making exactly the same amount of money. They go into next year, so this could happen. Wall for Russell Westbrook. The Rockets said, hey, we're okay, but you gotta give us a first round pick. And the first round pick the Rockets would get would be the Lakers 2027 first round pick, because it's the first round pick they can actually deal because of everything they've given up and NBA rules and what they gave up for Anthony Davis. So the next time they give up a first round pick would be 2027. Now on the court, this would make sense for many reasons, right? Russell Westbrook's not working out. Maybe John Wall works out a little bit better. Clearly, he showed he was healthy last year coming off his Achilles injury, and maybe he meshes a little bit better because clearly after, 45 games, Russell Westbrook is not. Although he did have a good game tonight, clearly it's just not working, and Westbrook's going to kind of do his thing, and the Lakers are going to continue to try to use him in a way that's not Russell Westbrook friendly. So why not do it? Because John Wall could work. It's not like you're giving anything up other than you could lose a first-round pick in 2027. And already I see so much, Mike, about, oh, the Lakers should never. Why would you give up a 2027 first-round pick? I would never do that. And I can't understand that philosophy. It's 5 years from now. What do you care if you're giving up a first-round? Rob Pelinka's got to say, I might not even have this job in 2 years, let alone 5 years. What do I give a crap? I'd give up a first-round pick now to get a guy to help LeBron James, because you know what? In 5 years, LeBron James is going to be 43 years old, right? He's not going to be Tom Brady playing in the NBA at 43. You can already see LeBron's a guy that's kind of getting his and not someone who's making everybody better like he used to during his career. So yeah, LeBron's at the end. You got to go get somebody to help him. You can't waste the end of LeBron James' era. And the price is a first round pick in 5 years? You don't know what the world's going to be like in 2 weeks, let alone in 5 years. You're worried about that? I don't know if we can do it. It's 5 years from now. Oh my God, that's the easiest trade to make in the world, is to trade a first round pick in 5 years. You don't know where it's going to be. You don't know if it's going to be number 15 overall or number 25 overall. And even is in the top 10, top 10 guys get traded 2 years after they get drafted if it doesn't work out. Yeah, I know everybody thinks that, oh, you trade a first round pick and the Lakers are going to stink and it's going to wind up being a top three pick and it's going to be Zion Williamson's son, or whoever it's going to be is going to wind up playing great. Or insert NBA play. It's going to be Julius Randle's kid or whoever else's kid. It's going to come in and be awesome. No, that's you have no idea what that's going to be. Think about the confluence of circumstances that have to go through in 5 years for the Lakers to be bad enough to have a really bad draft pick and for the Rockets to hit on that and be able to make it, and that turns into a superstar player. I mean, think about it, all right? Even if it was Zion Williamson, I don't know when Zion Williamson is going to play in the league again. Nobody has any idea, the guy. What if it's a great – you have no idea, and it's 5 years from now? Of course you go make this trade if you're the Lakers, and you can get out from under Russell Westbrook and bring in a player who's a couple of years younger and may wind up being a better fit.
Yeah, looking at the top 100 for the year 2027, right now you're looking at Jamal McKnight Jr. in Maryland, Jalen Mitchell in Indiana. Exactly, that's the point I'm trying to make here.
Are those real people? Are those real players, or did you just make them up?
No, they're that's real pretty, people.
Really? Well, they already wait, 7
wait,
years
I'm
from now?
I'm trying to bring this up, yeah.
Okay, all right. Wow, so they already have the first round pick of 2027. Okay.
Well, I mean, just their rankings as they're ascending seventh graders.
Okay, all right. Well, yes.
I got a list of the top 100
seventh graders, okay? Give me ascending seventh. No descending seventh graders, okay?
Yeah, guys that have already peaked. Why? They shot up early, and now everybody's catching up. Right, that's the long-winded, hey, man, I was like 2 inches shorter than I am now when I was in eighth grade.
Harmon was a monster. Now, oh, my God, Harmon's not a monster. What do we do taking him that early?
No, that's it. I would have been a bad bet. You know, folks thought, oh, he's going to grow. No. High school coaches, oh, hey, he's going to. No, sorry. Sorry, Chicago Catholic League. Didn't work out that way. That's the level of absurdity here is that there's a couple things at play. Number one, it's just that. I was like, all right, let's go scout the kids. Hey, look, some of them already have scholarship offers, I'm sure. But the other is the idea that if in 2027 you're banking on the fact that your team has been pretty good, which means you're not in the lottery, which means you don't have any ping pong balls, or if you're, you know, even if you don't make the playoffs and the play-ins and whatever else and you're in the lottery, in theory, you have the fewest number of ping pong balls because you're the Lakers. You're the bleeping Lakers. You should be pretty good. I don't know that you're able to pull it all back to the studs at this point. Maybe you do, but are you really going to foresee the Lakers even in a post-LeBron James era hitting that kind of bottom? No, I don't. And folks lament past trades of up-and-coming players. Like, oh, look what this guy's doing here. It's like, are you sure that in the culture and everything that was going on with the Lakers and if they'd stayed with LeBron, all of those guys would have achieved what they've now become in other spots? No. No, that's foolhardy. You want to do the simulation, go pull out your video games, change up the teams, and see how it looks, and have fun with it. But, yeah, if that's the cost of doing business and John Wall's ready to come in and play and doesn't need some massive ramp-up period, then, yeah. Otherwise, it's the here's the five or six players that we've had ranked for forever of, well, this is all they got. Talen Horton-Tucker's really the only guy of value, but he's actually making $10 million, so how much value is he to another team? That paragraph is in every article you read about what the Lakers can or can't do, and there's no win in that. If it's the price of a 2027 first-round pick, look, man, all draft picks to me are fair game. Have at it. Give me the actual asset now.
Well, look, and even you said as long as it's not a massive ramp-up period for John Wall. Even if it's 15 games, I don't care. You got 35 games to figure it out.
Yeah, no. Well,
it doesn't matter. You're not thinking about we got to get John Wall to get up into the top three. No, you're thinking, okay, if we can get to the top six, great. If we can avoid the play-in round, awesome. If we can't, we can't. We're there and we're going forward. So you have time. Even if it's going to be 10 or 15 games, yeah, it's all right. Let John Wall go. Really, John Wall's a really good player. He's 2 years younger. You know this doesn't work. So why not do this that gets you out from that if the price is a first-round pick in 5 years? On the Lakers, I'm going, is there any other catch to this? Because this seems too good to be true. Because the guy that was untradeable now suddenly, we can trade him. We can get a guy who's not bad. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, unless there was some moment in the locker room where everybody came together and, you know, said, 1, 2, 3, max effort! and blood oaths and all that kind of stuff. I mean, unless all of that went on, you're going to have nights like tonight, you know, where you get to play Orlando. And even then, the heart stress tests. I mean, look, sometimes the best were the old, they've got a heart monitor on this poker player. And look, he's like he's dead. If you had that with our guy Geeter alongside James Worthy and company, you would have had to have a physician 2 feet from him.
Yeah. Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Clear. Clear. We're right here. Click. Dealing with a dead battery? Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery tests can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99. They're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. Well, straight ahead, we may have one more head coaching opening in the NFL than we thought, and it could be a really, really big one. Go ahead, tight shirt. Play it. Play it.
Huge boner.
No. Now, where's your Cleveland?
It's not fun when you want it.
Oh, my God. It's not Cleveland. It's someplace else.
Miami!
No. Miami's already has an opening.
Oh.
It's already there. Are you just naming random cities?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, good. All right. So we know.
Are you just naming things in the room now?
Tuscaloosa! Austin!
Seattle!
Oklahoma City! That's coming up next right here, Fox Sports Radio.
Grand Canyon!
Not a city. That's a location, not a city.
It might have been at one time.
Well, not now, though.
Atlantis!
It's underwater.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Tonight's show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Every game, match, race, and competition, it is always on. Whoever you root for, whatever sport you love to watch, biggest games are even bigger in Vegas. So make sure to plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. That is visitlasvegas.com. Well, if you thought, well, we knew every single one of the NFL coaching openings, oh, maybe we don't. Jerry Jones, Cowboys owner, went on 105.3 The Fan earlier today. And look, how great for 103.5 The Fan. They always get that credit because Jerry Jones, that deal he has with them, they're like, yeah, we get Jerry every week. Jerry Jones went on and was not happy about a lot of things. But mainly, he was not happy about the coaching staff and everything that went on and the penalties and the bad calls and everything that contributed to the Cowboys' loss to the Niners last week. And when it came to giving Mike McCarthy and his coaching staff a vote of confidence, Jerry Jones said, not really.
I'm not going to get into any conversations that I've had with anybody relative to anything to do with the staff. I understand the interest in it, but there's nothing compelling me. And I'm not trying to be anyway. It's just not in our best interest to talk about where we are with members of the staff right now. We've got 29 coaches, so I've got a lot to think about regarding these coaches.
I know nobody cares about anybody but the McCarthy kid. So just try to hide that in the other 29 coaches. You may think our assistant strength and conditioning coach is going to be a big story, but I'm not going to give that to you. First of all, just the fact that he says, I'm not going to get into conversations about the coaching staffs that I've had, tells you, and he's telling us, I've had conversations about the coaching staff. I am not happy. He is looking for blame, and Mike McCarthy is going to get it, right? It's not that it's not deserved. You had a lot of coachable mistakes, the penalties surely, running through separate game-type situations. Yes, you can blame it on the coaching staff. There is a lot there for McCarthy and the coaching staff. Now, does this mean Jerry Jones is definitely going to go get a new head coach? Jerry Jones, the one thing he does is he doesn't pull the trigger very quickly unless he has to. And I don't see Jerry Jones making a move with Mike McCarthy unless there is a big name that becomes available that he just has to go get. If Jim Harbaugh calls him or he calls Jim Harbaugh and the conversation, I'd love to come coach the Cowboys. I'd love to have you. Guess what? Then Mike McCarthy's out and Jim Harbaugh's coming to coach the Dallas Cowboys. It's just going to be that simple. But outside of a big name, I don't see him doing it, because do you really think getting rid of Mike McCarthy and going to get and elevating Dan Quinn or going to get Brian Flores is the way to go? That's a really difficult thing to say when clearly there's a lot of things you have to worry about with the team that are about just getting players on the field, because you have too many top-heavy players. You're paying too many guys too much money. You got to make some big-time tough decisions on guys this year. If it's a big name, and if that means it's nobody that's being bandied about right now, and he's not going to go crazy to go get Todd Bowles or something, if it's a big name, a big dynamic name like Jim Harbaugh, he will go do it. Because he does that once in a while, right? He doesn't like to do it all the time, but once in a while, he will go do that and say, okay, here's a big name, here's what we're going to get, and this is going to be the next era of the Cowboys. I need somebody big to get us, and I will take the credit for hiring the guy who's a big name. So if it's Harbaugh, somebody like that, somebody shakes free, some conversations that he's had, people he's talked to that we're not hearing right now. Yeah, if there's a big name, he'll go get him. And that person will come in and coach the Cowboys. But none of the names going around now in the coaching carousel, I can't see Jerry Jones doing that.
Yeah, the only thing, I still wonder how much he loves Dan Quinn versus Mike McCarthy, right? In terms of the love and admiration that's out there. Not to mention, hey, Kellen Moore, the next Jason Garrett to a degree in terms of how glowing he may be. But, you know, guys that could get jobs elsewhere, right? And you leave McCarthy, and I know he went on the attack saying, hey, I know how to win games and bleep this and bleep that, you know, and I do that just for the I don't want to go through the long-winded explanations that he did. I'm paraphrasing for him, you know, backing up his decision-making going back to that wild card game, and we all watched, and well, there were a number of errors along the way, not to mention the fact that the pre-snap penalties on both sides of the ball at that point in the season are absolutely deplorable. Absolutely no consistency and no discipline in a playoff game. That's well, that seems fireable now, doesn't it? But when we look at it, you know, from the names that are out there, yeah, a lot of guys you're intrigued by, but do they supersede him? No, probably not. And even Harbaugh's the guy doing the calling, I think, at this point, if he's landing anywhere. Hi, it's Jim. Remember me?
Obviously, he's the one name, because, look, it's not really a very exciting coaching cycle right now. There's not the hot names out there that we got to go get this guy. Because normally,
well, that's why Dan Quinn's the hot guy.
I mean, just think about that. Dan Quinn, if we could get Dan Quinn. You have to, like, convince yourself to be excited about other guys. Even guys like Brian Flores, boy, the guy's a good coach and the players like him, but man, he couldn't get along with his ownership and his GM there. And, ooh, could that happen here? I mean, even the guys that are good coaches, you got questions about. There's no, oh, what a slam dunk choice this guy would be or choice B would be. So right now, yeah, Harbaugh does have the winning lottery ticket. If he wants to come back to the NFL, he could have any one of these jobs. And if the Dallas Cowboys is the job he wants, he will get that job. Jerry Jones will make that move. Look, and it's not just the head coaches or the coaching staff that Jerry Jones is upset with. He really surprised me by taking on a guy that he brought in that he wanted to take all the credit for making that trade for Amari Cooper. And now listen to Jerry Jones talk about Amari.
He should take half the field with him when he runs around. A whole bunch of that defense ought to have to honor Cooper. He ought to be able to catch it in the middle of when they're going with it. Others do. You throw to people that are covered all the time in the NFL. You have to.
So Cooper sounded like he was going after the Manning brothers. Hey, that guy's a part of the Fox family. You leave him alone.
Well, Peyton retired. Eli retired. The Manning cast is a big deal. If I get Cooper and Arch, that could work out pretty well. And then maybe in 5 years, I got Arch Manning as my quarterback.
Well, Cooper was a receiver.
Yeah, I could get Cooper's the way to Arch, though. I'll make sure I get Arch in a couple of years when I'm done paying Dak.
Can you trade a 2027 draft pick to get?
I'm going to call the league.
See, that's a callback.
I'll call the Lakers and then see if I can do it. That's one of the first guys that Jerry Jones has to move on from. Not because Amari Cooper is disappointing or because Amari Cooper is somehow past his prime, but Amari Cooper and Ezekiel Elliott both make way too much money. And the Cowboys have negative $11 million right now to be able to sign players. And look at the roster. Is it good enough? No, it's not close. And you had an offense that you loaded up with Dak giving him all the money, and you had Elliott in the backfield, and you had all kinds of good wide receivers, and look where you are. You lose your first playoff game at home. So is the team going to be better offensively if you lose Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper? No, but is it going to be that much worse? The running game would be in okay hands with Tony Pollard, right? Because Ezekiel Elliott's a luxury now, right? You'll get the same stuff out of Pollard next year you got out of Ezekiel Elliott, and you get out from under that contract, and you can get some kind of draft pick for him because you're trading his contract. Same thing with Amari Cooper. You get out of $20 million for Amari Cooper because Amari Cooper is a guy that's good, but you have CeeDee Lamb and Gallup coming back, and you want to re-sign Dalton Schultz. All right, you have to kind of find a couple of guys then. Draft well. The Cowboys have done a pretty good job of drafting the last few years, drafting some star players. This is kind of what has to happen if the Cowboys are going to reinvent themselves, because if they don't, they're just going through with the same roster next year and expecting different results just because. It's obvious this didn't work. You need money to go out and get players and to fix things in other areas. And right now, Elliott and Cooper, those are the two guys that have to go. And whatever you get for them, you get for them. Hey, if you can somehow get a third-round pick, get a couple of third-round picks because the salary's going with them, hey, man, that's awesome, because those are two starters you're likely drafting. And that's got to be good enough, because what's happening now with the Cowboys is just going to be the same thing if they go forward the way they are. They have to make some difficult decisions at positions where they have guys making a lot of money, and they have to move on, and they have to shore up different areas of the team. They got to shore up some areas on defense. They got to make sure that they're able to continue whatever they can offensively and pick and choose what they want to do there. Do we want to keep Dalton Schultz? Do we want to get somebody else? There's tough decisions that have to be made, and that's the first two guys that should be on the trade block.
Yeah, no, it's going to be curious to see how much shuffling of a roster there is. The fact that he's going after the productivity of Amari Cooper in such a bold way. I mean, he's pissed. I mean, think about it. It's almost a full week, and he's still salty, which is why I guess this would have been done today and must have delayed his exit interview, as it were, a couple of days. Yeah. I'm still spicy. I can't do it yet. So finally shows up here and, you know, vague about the coaching stuff, but certainly when it comes to the players, you know, vexed. I can only imagine, you know, how much as he started seeing, you know, as it was relayed to him, social media of so many ex-Cowboys, including Fox's own Troy Aikman, kind of raising their hands over how the games were played out and decisions Dak made, and Jimmy Johnson and the tweet about an Instagram post going out about the Dak Prescott and Tony Romo career playoff marks. I mean, I think all of that kind of rises up to chap Jerry's ass at this point about this. I mean, he's got to look in the mirror, right? Because he's the chief decision maker in all this. And, you know, one of the hardest things for everybody. And we had a great conversation with Jay Glazer. I'm sorry you missed it yesterday as we started to celebrate the final countdown for his book. Is, you know, being open to hearing your friends, talking to your friends, and accepting, you know, some of that feedback to help yourself move forward. And Jerry Jones is still trying to do things the old way.
Trying to make money the old-fashioned way. He's trying to earn.
Oh, nicely done.
It's been a while for my John Houseman impression.
I don't know that anybody knows who John Houseman is anymore.
You think so? No,
Never heard of him.
I don't know the paper chase is necessarily required viewing anymore.
I might have been better off with my Brad Childress impression than my John Houseman impression.
Well, I don't know that they're that far different.
No, the John Houseman is very much like this, where Brad Childress is, we have to play better on offense. That's kind of Brad Childress.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. We got some big-time NBA stuff coming your way in about 15 minutes. A big night for Steph Curry. Doc Rivers is really, really pissed. Doesn't like the pesky media answering him questions, taking a page out of Penny Hardaway's playbook. But Tomorrow in the NFL, we kick off divisional playoff weekend, which is usually the best weekend of games because you get rid of the pretenders. It's before the title games, and this is when everybody plays their best football. We got four big games. We usually get a lot of big performances. So we're going to kick things off and give you our picks for the games. Mike, Tennessee, Cincinnati. Who do you like in this one, my friend? Mike? Mike doesn't want to pick the game, apparently.
Can you not hear me?
There you go.
Can
now
you hear me now?
You. It, when
can you hear
when
me now?
When you turn your thing off to cough, you got to turn it back on.
No, see, I didn't. Evidently, I hit the volume. Anyway, let's pump it up. I started screaming louder and louder. Can you hear me now? No, just like that old annoying commercial where you wanted to jump through into the TV and throttle folks. Look, Cincinnati, we got a lot that we love, right? Popular team for popular people. Everybody now loves the helmet and the logo, celebrating the icky shuffle and everything else. And we love Joe Burrow and that offense. But Tennessee quietly, methodically getting it done. Derrick Henry comes back. And you know what? Even if he doesn't have 25 carries in him, you had Hilliard, you had Foreman doing a pretty good job in his absence. They kept the rushing game alive. Ryan Tannehill with some big throws and that defense coming up big. I'll take Tennessee to win at home. They're quiet. Nobody cares. But you know what? The Titans fans are fired up in Nashville and they'll be riding this entire surge coming out of Friday night SmackDown.
I'd like that's why did you win? Because of SmackDown.
Yeah, oh, no, we got juiced up. There were a bunch of big moments. Johnny Knoxville showed up and promoted Jackass. I mean, come on, it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, TJ Knoxville in Tennessee promoting Jackass. TJ. Look, I'd love to pick Cincinnati. I would. They're fun. I'd love to pick them, but
do it!
The Titans are just too loaded. Plus, they're getting Derrick Henry back. Even if Henry can't carry the football 20 times, they still ran the football well without him while he was out. Ryan Tannehill has been able to get big yardage over the middle. He has played extremely well. This offense has worked. They will slowly take over the game tomorrow offensively. Their defense has become elite. Their defensive line up the middle is great. They can get pressure without blitzing. They like to give you a lot of different looks. They're going to move around a lot. This is now next level stuff for Joe Burrow. And while he's going to win games like this in the future, I can see Tennessee confusing him a bit and really doing a stop start for the Bengals offense. And defensively, they're going to do enough to put their clamps on the game where slowly the offense is able to put some distance between themselves and the Bengals. Give me the Titans in this one, 24-14.
Love it. Lay the lumber on that one. All right, the other game, of course, we've got Green Bay and San Francisco. I picked the Niners before the year, so I have to continue with it. It's not an anti-Packers rant. I'll save that for Dick Butkus and the Bears legends and social media to get after because Jim McMahon's getting more active on social media too. Not trending in the way of Butkus, but he's getting after it too.
No, he was throwing out some Super Bowl shuffle videos I saw earlier.
Yeah, so you got that flowing, and I'm digging that. But I respect the 30-year history. Hell, even before that, Don Majkowski had a little bit of magic in him now and again against the Bears going back through Favre and all the way here. The big thing is for the 49ers, establishing the run. Deebo Samuel just saying, give me the ball, and they say, okay. Runner, receiver, I figure he might have a touchdown pass or two in him as well. But Brandon Ayuk coming up big. Kittle, as we know. Johnson a little deeper in your receiving core. And Elijah Mitchell have been fantastic. Jimmy G will get the support he needs and can make big throws. I know the potential for a big error is always there, but I'm looking for them to just go in and punish the Packers, despite the fact that it's so cold. And some of the issues up front with Bakhtiari being less than 100%, advantage Niners.
See, I'm going the other way. I picked Green Bay to go to the NFC Championship game. I'm going to stick with them. But San Francisco is solid. They're not dynamic. A lot of their success is predicated on getting out to a lead in the first quarter and forcing the other team to maybe not play from behind, but not be able to seize control of the game on the scoreboard. And the Packers are just too good. They're going to be able to do that. And they're going to score. I wouldn't be surprised to see some offensive wrinkles in the game. Like maybe you would see, boy, I didn't think they would run the football as much as they did, and they run for 150, 160 yards. Green Bay's had a couple of weeks off to figure things out. San Francisco is solid, but not dynamic. It's very difficult to go into Green Bay and say, we're going to put up the points to win. Give me Green Bay in this one. The key is obviously stopping San Francisco in the first quarter. I'll take the Packers 31-17. And I will give the Niners credit for being better than I thought this year, and Jimmy G for being better. And he has made his market this offseason a great one, because they've won. Even though he hasn't played great, he has played well enough, and he will be somebody's answer. Steelers at quarterback. But I don't see the Niners having enough in this one.
Well, just remember, when they played from behind, yeah, it was a loss, and it was a last-second field goal and all that fun stuff. They played from a deep deficit. Well, hell, just like they did going back a couple weeks here, right? Where they found a way to get back, and were but for, the final clock play, right, where they're able to actually get that done, and a field goal that got them a victory. So they've shown it a couple of times that Jimmy G can lead them back. We celebrate Juszczyk in all his greatness as well.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. If you miss any of our show, don't worry. You can download the podcast right after the show is over. It goes up on iTunes. You can use the iHeartRadio app. Wherever you listen to podcasts, it is there. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Listen to us, rate us, subscribe, download. We will love you forever and ever and ever. Again, iHeartRadio app, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, it's there. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. And thank you for all your support again through 2021. Another big year of growth for us here on the show. It has been outstanding, and it wouldn't be possible without you guys supporting us. So thank you very much for that. We have no less than three big stories in the NBA coming your way. Keep it right here. We got game-winning shots. Westbrook. Doc Rivers is pissed. Fox.